causes, there's some destiny. And even this meeting, I had a very inspiring teacher. He was a German monk, I told you. After this experience in South Africa, when I came to Sri Lanka, immediately I met him. He was a wandering monk, really. He was really showing it that it should can be done practically. So he really inspired me that time. And I was his attendant towards the latter period. And so he gave me so much inspiration. And there's a time that many, he was so strict, it was known by others that he, if he meets a monk, he would tell, don't stay in the society, go to the forest, don't mingle too much with people and so on. So even other foreign monks, when they say they want to go and see their parents or something or relations, he would say, he has said, they say, but I can understand his spirit, I don't think he would hurt anyone. He has said that monk was Bodhisattva, the Siddhartha. Was he writing letters under the Bodhi tree? When he was asked, you know, what do you do in your free time? He said, I sometimes write letters to my relations or something. Then he has asked, was the Bodhisattva, the Buddha to be, did he write letters under the Bodhi tree? I can, but I don't think he will ever cut someone like that. He has so much love and wisdom, of course. But he was a very, you know, some say that is a German spirit or something, that, but I don't think he was, for me, a real inspirator, who inspired me like nothing. I mean, I couldn't sort of meet his standard of practice. So it just, it was such a thing. Because in Sri Lanka, you find monks are so much, you know, they have saddha, faith, but they are so, you know, I mean, they are so lifeless. They are not, I mean, you see, I mean, I think monks are spiritual Rambos, you understand? They're fighters, they're warriors. And they create character. They are, they go through certain practice, sacrifice. And they are fearless to face this practice. So anyway, my teacher told me in the latter part, in certain period, he was telling me to be a monk. It was big pressure for me. One period, I mean, when I was attending him, is to, not that he tell directly, he would say, how nice when you become a monk, you can, that, so this was haunting in my mind, you know, so I just worship and wait, yes, one day. But so I go to Himalayas somewhere and think that he will, this old man will forget about me, and, but when he sees me again, he would say, how nice when you become a monk, and, you know, you can practice like this, like that. So it went on for 3 years. So one day, I couldn't keep it with me. We respect him so much, we don't sort of question him so too much. So I just went down and said, Bante, I can't become a monk. There's a reason also, I'm telling just now. I can't be, because I want to be a monk before, but later I want to practice, but not to be a monk. This was the reason. I told my teacher immediately, I can't become a monk because monasteries are deteriorating, the monks are deteriorating, the dispensation is deteriorating. He looked at me and said, your consciousness is deteriorating. He said, no, you enter the Sangha, the monkhood, and inspire the others while you are doing like that. Don't separate yourself like this. So he was right, but it was a big lesson. And so later on, what he was telling me after I became a monk was that these devotees, these people are waiting for you. You have to go and help them. And that time I was a young monk, and of course I had always this compassion to, this was there for a long period, from that very experience, age of 18, I had this also, to serve the people, to go into their suffering and do something. So then he taught me, when I met him, he taught me the ways of serving. You can give food and some thing, you know, give some, these are the symptoms of the problem. The root cause of the problem is you have got a low consciousness. To raise the consciousness to an enlightened stage, this is your solving it forever. So knowing this from his understanding, then I pursued this particular way of self-purification and strengthening my enlightenment, awakening, and sort of then to raise up. So that I can see, because more you practice, more you this thing, more you purify, there will be an impact on the people. Now in Sri Lanka, sometimes they ask, so many monks are preaching, there's no change in the people. So I didn't have the answer that time. Later on, I was just wondering also. Then when I read some books and on my own reflection also, I got the answer. The reason is, who are preaching, who are teaching, they are not pure themselves. If that purity is there, there's purity from passions and this thing, there will be a mystic force that will be going. It's just not the talking or this thing. There is something from the infinite going. And that, you know, that will make people to take U-turns. It's not a lot of that charm and all that is created out of that particular strength of restraint. I will tell how these energies come and how it will show in your body also. Okay? Because if you're going to clean yourself, you don't have to struggle to change someone. You will be giving the best support, the best help for the person to change. And you want to change someone means you have a special attachment to that person. Your very special attachment is a impurity itself. You understand? You're not going to tap that spiritual energies if you have those personal concerns, because you're still living in certain illusion and you're solidifying those illusions. And the best thing is to help the person is to stop worrying about the person. And that you can't just pretend, then you have to have some knowledge. Do I have an idea how this mind has got caught to a kind of wrong reflection? So in Sri Lanka, this they were telling me this, and then this is the answer. Not only Sri Lanka, anywhere. If someone has an impact on the world, it's because that person himself has purified himself. There's a story about Swami Vivekananda, you know. I don't know, do you know this particular Swami Vivekananda? He made a kind of a stir in Chicago, Parliament of Religions, 1995 or somewhere like that, this time. So very interesting, said that one child was brought to him by a mother. The child was little fat and he was addicted to eating sweets. So when the boy was brought, he said, Swamiji, can you please give him some mantra or something so that he will stop eating sweets? Said, okay, please come after 10 days. I will give him something. So after 10 days, they came, and then he said simply, son, don't eat any sweets. Then the mother was wondering, well, so simple mantra, you know, no mantra really. Swamiji, you should have told this 10 days back. Why are you telling it now like this, simple? He said, 10 days ago I was eating sweets myself. So last 10 days I stopped eating. And well, this is how he has this motto, be and make. This is my motto also. You be and make others. There's some force in it. So tell you honestly, I was so busy. Actually, my life too. I don't want to come like this. I'm forced to come. Because I have something I have already done. But new things this year was not easy for me. It started from Australia. 1 month there. Then before that, I had to continue going to the Himalayas also. The same place I faced death. Because I'm still in the battlefield. I'm not going to get frightened. And because I will be pursuing even next year to Himalayas, those places, until, and I will do whatever is really necessary to do. And doesn't matter if, in case I lose my body, I'll come with another body and better body next life. This mind will go, it's a force. So anyway, because I don't want to, if I didn't do something, of course I went to Kailash again. That was the only meditation part I did this year. Then I was in the 3 months retreat. I was planning, I was in the jungle. But mostly I was coming to make the visas to Colombo. This is my condition. And because after 2 weeks, you know, this visa and that visa. So with this kind of thing, you can't continue your... I was doing my best. So I came like that. Then suddenly, soon as the visa was all okay, this was okay. And I was, inside me, I was wishing for the Canada visa to get delayed. And I don't know how, normally in Sri Lanka, these things get delayed. But it came on time. This was something, I don't know how it happens against me. And then I just had to rush after the, just after that, Chen came to Schengen, you know, that, what was it, Paris and all that. That was the one that would have got cancelled if it came late. So that month I would have spent. So then that month I would have stopped eating sweets like Vivekananda, of course, from another level. So I can't help it. This is also a main duty, because now if I die, I think it's okay. If I die now, I know something I have to do, I have done. So that is most important. It's like a meditation without meditation. When you harmonize with your duty, it is a solid meditation. It's not just you sit in, you know, Padmasana or something, in the lotus posture. It is when you harmonize, that's how this meditation works. So my friends, so this is very important. If you want to change the people around you, you must find any mistake you are doing and keep away from it, and that will create a sort of reaction. The other thing is, you should know that, you know, you should not have memories of, you should know that everything has happened to your good normally. You know, if you have thoughts, I wish something, you know, I would have done this or that, why this happened to me. Now some people come and complain. Once I was going, that was in Singapore airport. I remember one Sri Lankan gentleman, he happened to just come to me and maybe talk to me. And when he was talking, I knew he was, initially he, you know, like many monks are there, so sometimes some of them do, they don't, sometimes they have lost the idea of the protocol with a monk. There is certain protocol, right? I'm not attached to it, but there is certain, I mean, for me, I would see like this, like someone is really receptive or interested. There's a ways of seeing that. And the Buddha is told to reveal certain wisdom according to that person. I mean, you don't waste your time. Now, for example, this was a good thing. When I get late, if someone wants to go early, it's good. Then I get screened people who is really interested. If they're sent away, they'll be coming. You can know. So that is very important, to have that drive to know something. And then you don't just sort of be in a hurry to give these things. You wait. You then the right time, the right people, right the situation, they will come. It might be a little later. But even if they come a little later, that is the right time for the person. So if you try to prematurely sort of, you know, so that's why you have to be detached also. You must be detached to even deliver the spiritual things. This is another thing. Then you are, you know, working with according to the situation. So anyway, in that place in Singapore, I found that he realized slowly, then he thought he has some problems, he must ask this monk. Problems means he was in great depression, because he has gone to Sri Lanka, his mother has died, and just after the funeral, then he found his relations trying to get property or something like that. And so he was so upset with that, and then he was so disillusioned, I would say, how these relations could behave like that, and he was like hopeless with life. And then I realized he was having all these thoughts. Then I asked him, "Well, do you see me?" Then he said, "Yes, Pante, I do see you." "And do you feel the weight in your legs?" "Yes, I do." "And just what you see, this is all what is real now. These are all only thoughts." These thoughts, you don't, you know, you must see who you are. Is those thoughts really you? They're just coming alien to you. So you at least note this. Just stop and just really think about the thought. Think about the thinking. If you really do it, you'll find your problems, it'll take a different, completely a different picture. This is the shift of attention. Now there is one time one monk, you know, there's a small monk, a young monk in Sri Lanka. He was very sick. So I was a visitor myself and I got to know he was having high fever. So I went to him. When I went to him, he suddenly got up, like out of respect. I said, "Wait, Venerable, you just wait. I would just, you know, you're sick, okay?" And then he knew I am a meditating monk. He just got to hear. And so he immediately told me, "You know, Mante, when I was a young monk in this small sort of teaching places, schools for younger monks, this one master, he taught us how to practice mindfulness, mindful meditation, how to observe the feeling, not to see it as my feeling, it is just a feeling. And when I had this high fever, I just thought about it because I couldn't bear up. Then I remembered him and I was just noticing the painful nature of the feeling and just told to myself, this is just feeling. It's not my feeling, it's a feeling. It's just a feeling. And when I started to do that, the feeling of pain and difficulty was just fading away.